All right. Call this meeting to order at 6:08 p.m. Before we begin, may I remind you all of the oath you have taken. The Students' Union would also like to honor the nation-to-nation treaty relationship by acknowledging that this meeting is taking place on Treaty 6 territory. A few other quick announcements. The next meeting of Students' Council will take place on Tuesday, September 29th, 2015, at 6 p.m. in Council Chambers, which is back here. Jerry Daly has informed me that the people from Express Catering are coming back at 8 o'clock. I don't know if that's to pick up just plates or all the food, like everything that's out there. So if you have plates, reusable dishes, these nice black plates that we'll hear a presentation about very shortly, please make sure they're back there by 8 o'clock. Before I take attendance, just wanted to mention that the two items from the late editions submitted by Vice President Rahman and Councillor Patrick, will be special ordered to the main agenda. Also, we'll go through a quick little tutorial about all these gizmos and gadgets, but I'll do that after the first presentation so that Kirsten can get going if she needs to be somewhere else. So I'll take attendance really quickly and then we'll get to presentation 2A. So just give me one second, Kirsten. President Kinda.
Present.
Vice President Rahman.
Here.
Vice President Hanwell.
Here.
Vice President Bondarchuk.
Here.
Vice President Kwan.
Here.
Governor Khan.
Here.
Councillor Allard is not here yet. Councillor Tronson.
Here.
Mr. Sood for Councillor Zhang.
Here.
Okay. Councillor Burton.
Here.
Councillor Guillaume.
Here.
Councillor Schlant. Councillor Angus.
Here.
Mr. Stuckin for Councillor Patches.
Yeah.
Councillor Johnden.
Here.
Councillor Chang.
Here.
Councillor Patrick.
Here.
Councillor Jason Wong.
Present.
Councillor Yu.
Here.
Councillor Singh. Councillor Doan. Sorry, Councillor Christensen.
Here.
Councillor Doan. Councillor Fleming.
Here.
Councillor Hodgson.
Does anybody need to second this?
Councillor Roussel. Councillor McKinnon.
Present.
Councillor Kwan.
Here.
Councillor Juwan.
Here.
Councillor Adamaj.
Here.
Councillor Kevin Wan.
Here.
Councillor Shu.
Here.
Councillor Mostafis.
Here.
Councillor Lewis.
Here.
And I am here. Wonderful. So we'll move on to presentation item 2A, Sustainable SU's Reusable Dish Program, presented by Kirsten Lane, the Students' Union's Sustainable Engagement Specialist, and sponsored by Vice President Bondarchuk. Is there a second sponsor for this presentation? Councillor Kwan, thank you. Is there any opposition to viewing slash listening to this presentation? Seeing none, go ahead.
I'm going to stand because that's custom for giving presentations. Is this a good volume? Can everyone hear me at the back? Thumbs up. Right on. As Mr. Speaker mentioned, my title is Sustainability Engagement Specialist with the U of A Students' Union. That does not mean I know everything about sustainability engagement, but I do have a few helpful tips for how you can help reduce the impact of these events. I want to first thank you for donating your time to represent the student body. That's an excellent thing to do, and I'm very grateful to be speaking to you today. The plates on which you're eating are a part of the reusable dish program that SustainSU volunteers maintain. We wash dishes, sanitize dishes for student groups, campus organizations, and faculties to as an alternative to disposable dishware. How you can help us is by removing all food waste from your plates and putting it in the organics bin. Your wax paper, your napkins can also go in the organics bin, and your plastic cutlery can go in the plastics or recyclable container. Essentially, you might walk away from this event with zero waste. Your cups are plastic as well, they can be recycled. And I just ask that you return the dishes to the food area, completely clear of food. We want to continue helping Students' Council to reduce the impact, but it's really a dismay for our volunteers when they receive the dishes, cake with food and cutlery and napkins. That's not really part of their role. So I thank you for helping us achieve this mission, and I'm open to any questions you have about reusable dishes, SustainSU, or reducing the environmental impact of your events.
Are there any questions?
Yes. How long have you been running your program?
The reusable dish program has been around since 2004, so 11 years. Our dishes have actually come from, the original came from Lister Center when they moved on to new dishware, and since then we've been increasing our inventory of nicer dishware, so we'll aim to provide you with these beautiful black plates, but if you get the wonderful beige plates, you can think, wow, this is vintage.
Any other questions?
Yeah.
So how often do you replace the remakes?
It depends. When we give our dishes to campus groups, it's with the expectation that lost dishes incur a fee of $5 per dish. The Office of Sustainability funds our program, so they provide us with $2,000 each year to increase our inventory as well as replace lost dishes. So we order every year. We also have cups, bowls, appetizer plates, and we don't have cutlery yet, but if you are looking to order dishes for your event, check out our website. We have an online Google form. I'll respond to you within a week, and I just advise you give us at least a week's notice, especially for larger orders.
How have you found students are reacting to the program?
We honestly have to turn away orders because it's very popular. So because we have only 700 large dinner plates, people want them for conferences, different events. So orders range from 25 plates to 300 to 600 plates. So it depends how many orders we have that month and which priority it will go to. For example, the Student Sustainability Summit will require almost our full load of dishes. So we have to refuse orders during that time in January.
How many volunteers are currently part of the program, approximately, and how do students go about joining if they're interested?
So our CSB, Campus Sustainability Volunteer Applications, actually just closed. We'll be recruiting again in the winter. They go through a group interview process and attend CSB training with the Office of Sustainability and Student Services. At that point, they choose which projects they're most interested in. They get divided into their projects. And so the reusable dish program has around 10 to 15 volunteers. And SustainSU volunteers are a group of around 70 to 85. We'll have public volunteer opportunities. For example, three times this semester, we're going to be engaging in a flip the switch sticker mob. And so what we're doing is putting stickers up on light switches on campus to remind people to shut off the lights. And so volunteers RSVP for that event. They come for half-hour orientation. Their team does an hour of sticker mob as a competition. And then you receive pizza at the end. So if you sign up for our general newsletter, you can stay informed about that and get free pizza with the deal. Any other questions? I'm always available by email, so if you do, or if you're curious what else we're up to this semester, I'd be happy to share it with you. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much. So before we move on to the next presentation, just go really quickly through a short tutorial on how exactly to use all these nice gizmos and gadgets. How many people have actually started kind of like screwing around with this and trying to see how things work? Okay. So screwing around is probably not the best. Those are the best words to use, but I can't think of anything else right now. So, a few things. In terms of getting onto the speakers list, what happens is you just press that speaker button at the bottom. Maybe I should reopen that sheet that Deb was kind enough to send out. So you're all here, so that's good. So you'll be able to speak when the red light on your microphone turns on. To get onto the speakers list, you just press the button that's at the center at the very bottom. Once it's lit up and it's red, like in addition to this light, that means that you're speaking. I believe if it's blue or green, that just means that you're on the speakers list. So if you press the button and you want to be on the list, don't press the button again and make that light turn off unless you want to be taken off the speakers list. how I'm doing this is I'm manually moving people onto the speakers list from the speakers list onto, like, so that they can, their microphones are actually on. So that's why I'm saying don't, like, depress your button and make that light go off, unless you want me to manually continue to record the speakers list. Does that make sense to everybody? Is that unclear to anyone? Okay, wonderful. So we'll also try this system out in terms of voting. I should caution you that so far, when we've used the system for voting, you can only vote, and then your vote is stuck as it is. So the only way to reset your vote is for us to reset the whole system and for everyone to vote again. So what will happen is we'll open voting. Everyone will have a chance to vote through the middle buttons. There's a plus button, a zero button, and a minus button. Plus means yes, zero means abstain, minus means no. You'll vote, we'll close the voting, and then we'll have a total count of the number of votes. So, if you're not a member of Students' Council, please don't vote. And also don't press the button to try to get onto the speakers list. Any questions at this point? Yes, Councilor Flyman.
Is there a thing that you're moving everything over manually? Are you still going to have to keep track of how many speaking terms somebody's had? Or is there a way to set that in the future where it stops you after two?
I'll probably still have to figure that out manually, so I'll keep track of that myself. Yes?
Would you just address us by like the machine number or something?
If you want me to address you by a number, I can do so.
Can you tell which one of us is on which machine from where you are?
No, I basically have to take a wild guess. I kind of have a good idea of where some people are at, just because I was also playing around with the system before council started. But that being said, the screen that I have in front of me doesn't have numbers on it, so I have no idea what seat you're at, if that makes any sense.
So what does it tell you when you press the speaker?
So when you press the button, so like whoever number 54 is keeps pressing their button on and off, I don't know who that is, but that comes onto the screen. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, I'm just saying that number comes onto a speakers list. So the speakers list. Speakers list is right here.
Oh.
So I'm the only speaker that's currently on the list. This is the rest of the speakers list. So you see all these people are pressing their buttons to try to look fancy and try to get on this list right now, even though they can't read what numbers they are. So whoever number 45 is, number 55, in addition to other people, those people are currently on the speakers list. So, but at the same time, I don't know what number this is. So the number is lit up here. The microphone is lit up here. I can allow this person to speak by just pressing on them. And so now Councillor Flyman's mic is active. The timer turns on automatically. So whatever, like, so for example, for executive and board committee reports, automatically, as soon as your mic turns on, you automatically have 2 minutes to speak. So that'll automatically happen. And as far as I know, your mic actually turns off when your speaking turn is over. If that makes sense. Yes?
Will you still have a time? Like, is there any way to indicate how much time is left? Or during the speaking?
I can set it up. I can set it up so there's a warning. Right now, I think I set that warning to 10 seconds, but I can change that as council would like. So there's a 10-second warning, but that's about it. Any other questions? Cool. Okay. If you have any questions that come up during the meeting, please don't hesitate to ask. I'm sure many of you will have the same questions. And eventually in the future, what will happen is we'll actually load the Students' Council agenda onto this, because right now we're voting on the Faculty of Education's agenda so that we can use the voting buttons. Okay. Cool. With that out of the way, Assuming no more questions for now. Yes, Council Flannel.
Can we test the voting one more time, or did we get it squared away the first time?
We can test it right now, just to make sure everyone works correctly. So voting is now active, so everyone can vote. So again, you'll see that as soon as you have voted once, as far as I know, you can't change your vote. So, and I can also tell how many people are voting, how many ways, and who's voting how, because the lights turn on. Cool. Any other questions? Yes, Councilor Flannan.
Do you have the result of that last vote?
I do. I believe it was 10 in favor, 8 opposed, 8 abstentions. So,
I'd like to call for division.
I take back special ordering your motion, so special order yourself. I'm just kidding. That was a bad joke, Councilor Patrick. The types of jokes that I don't like. Any other questions on the system? If we get into a situation where there's tons of guests from Students' Council here and there's questions about whether or not they're voting, we might consider having like a special row designated for people who are guests of Council, so that I know that those people should count towards votes, etc. So that happens in the future. We'll come to that. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. So we'll move on to presentation item 2B, unless there's any questions. Again, feel free to bring up a point of parliamentary inquiry or point of order if you're not sure how the system works. We'll move on to item 2B, SE submission to the 2015 academic plan, presented and sponsored by Vice President Rahman. Is there a seconder for this presentation? President Kinda. Is there any opposition to listening to and viewing Vice President Rahman's presentation?
An interactive presentation. We'll have
some fun. Seeing none, let's pull up this presentation. You're just going to talk?
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there a mouse that I could use to scroll on?
I can do it if you want me to.
Okay. Cool. I'm trying to like see. Oh, yeah, I'll single signal like this. We'll figure it out. Presentation about the academic plan. The academic plan is a huge document that the university makes, and it's basically a 5-year strategic plan. So I'm just going to give you guys some context about what exactly an academic plan is and how we can expect to be involved with creating that plan. And then we're going to play a quick game, take a look at our priorities for the year, and talk about next steps. Cool. So like I said, the academic plan is a 5-year strategic plan that the university makes for our university, and truly supposed to encompass what our university is supposed to do for the next 5 years. And I don't know how to really stress how important this document is. It's kind of like the Bible for the university. So if a counselor was to like say, I'm going to stand up and quote standing orders, that's a huge comment that we'd like make, because it's kind of ridiculous that you would like quote standing orders because you assume people read it all the time. It's the exact same thing with the academic plan. You assume that everybody has read it, who's going to be involved in university governance in some manner, whether you know you're a member of GFC or you're talking to the president about what's going on with WISTA this year. No matter what you're talking about, it's kind of assumed that you're going to know what the academic plan is. And now the super interesting thing is that if you take a look at those 3 dates down there, There's a bit of overlap. So one ends in 2010, the next one starts in 2010, and our last one ended in 2015, but we're writing it right now. And it's not going to be done until 2016, probably by August. Actually, I have no idea when it's going to be done. I'm assuming it's going to be done by next summer. So it will be done during the majority of our term on student council and student executive, but it might not even be complete by the end of our terms. And the reason that's super interesting is because for the year 2015-2016, we actually don't have an academic club. And so if you talk to a lot of university administrators, sometimes they feel like we're sitting like lame ducks and we're not planning for the future. But that's because we're doing so much transition, not us specifically, but the provost office as well as the president's office, with a new provost of Dr. Stephen Duke and a new president in Dave Turpin. There's a huge amount of transition, so that's why we don't have a steering document at the moment, which causes some people to advance that. Now we're going to play a quick game.
You can use these keyboards.
No, I don't have these stupid hand signs. So, what I want everybody to do is take 2 minutes and think about your favorite experience of the year. Who's got an answer for me?
I wasn't doing well. I came to council chambers.
Nice. That's a good one. That's a good one. Who's got another suggestion for me?
Watching the guy hit the house.
Oh my god.
Program that you thought you'd never get into?
I had probably the most fantastic professor in mathematics last semester. I cannot convey how great he was.
Nice.
Fantastic.
It's a really good experience. Please.
Starting off my first year last year, my Chinese 101 professor, even at 9 o'clock in the morning, was never in a bad mood, always happy, upbeat, dead of winter. And he made learning one of the most difficult languages on earth that much more enjoyable.
Thanks, nice. That's super neat to hear. And so, just going off of this slide. So you're hearing a lot of experience being both outside of the classroom, say the involvement of the student council or other activities on campus, and you're also seeing people having great experiences in the classroom. And that's really the two reasons that the student comes to campus. It's to get a degree at the end of the day, but also learn something outside of the classroom as well. So I'll quickly go through these next slides because we kind of talked through it. So program admission can be a big roller step for some students. For some students, it's the first time in their, like they're the first person in their family school attending post-secondary education. And so it's a big step for them just to even get here in the first place. Sometimes people make great friends with their boss. Sometimes people meet their significant others on campus too. So lots of different examples. And then lastly, council is important too. And so I got a couple of council members for this. Who remembers that? That's right. And then we also had another hashtag, which was memorable, in my opinion. We still got to make Dylan cry. Yeah. That's a good enough message. Cool. So the next part, our second interactive bit, what does our students council value? That's what I need you guys to help for, because that's really going to help me frame how I type up the document based on what I focus on. And these are really, like, all of these things are just policies that I pluck from our students' council policy list. But do you guys think anything's missing from it? So, you know, I covered a lot on the classroom, covered a lot on affordability too. For example.
Bilingualism.
That's a good one. I should write that down. Who else has suggestions for me?
Like in business, we value networks a lot.
Any other takers on priorities for our student council? What's that, Kevin?
Democracy.
Democracy. Cool. So I'll definitely make sure that those, I consider putting those in the final list. But basically, I took that list and I paired up things into themes, and then I took out a few things. Residences and food in particular, because I thought it wasn't as relevant for the academic plan. Still important for our campus, of course, but not necessarily for the academic governance of our university. And I tied it into themes. So our four themes right now are affordability, quality instruction, experiential learning, and really our campus environment. And all of these things are really tied into the student experience, for how students go through their day-to-day lives on campus. And like the really important thing that I want to emphasize is that if you want to have a great university, you should have students who are proud of their experiences at the university and really had a good time at the university. So you have students that go back into the community or become citizens of Alberta or Canada or whatever place they end up working at. And they can really say, like, I know that being at the U of A defined my time. And maybe it's being involved with the students' union that really defines your time, or maybe it's, you know, getting into your dream program that defines your experience at the U of A. We really want to make sure that students aren't getting the short staffers, short staff. Cool. So my next steps are actually writing up the section. So I organize things into four things. I need to take some time to write up these four things, actually, and run it by some of our staff to make sure that all the writings sound for students. And then after that, running ideas by stakeholders. So if you guys want to take a look at the draft report that goes into its final version, please let me know. I probably won't share it with all of council, just because it will be a long document. And if I share it with a bunch of people, like, I think by diffusion of responsibility, I'll be getting best responses. So let me know in advance if you want to read that document. I'll also be running by the event, so heads up, you have like 20 pages to read in October when I'm done writing it. And in the meantime, if you have any other questions about the academic plan or want to get more involved, feel free to just shoot me. Anybody have any other questions for me? Cool. Seeing none, you guys will see a final copy of the document probably in late October, and then it'll go over to the president's and provost office. Thanks, guys.
All right, so we'll move into executive committee reports. Do any members of the executive wish to make a report? Vice President Hanwell.
Need number 54. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to say to Council, I wanted to thank both Councillor Kwan and Councillor Angus for their help that they've been giving me over the last few weeks now. Forget about the vote. It's going well. We got 20-odd volunteers on Sunday night and taught them everything we know, which isn't much, but it's still a little bit, and so we're starting to put posters up, do canvassing, do some class talks. If you would like to volunteer, come let me know. Also, I will definitely be talking to each and every one of you, most likely when you leave today, and ask if you pledge to vote. If you haven't, I will do my very best to convince you. But I have lots of pledge forms here, so each one of you should at least sign up and pledge to vote and help make me cry. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Vice President Hanwell. President Kinda.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I'll just go through my report really quickly. We haven't reported for a while because we haven't counseled. But we had orientation, week of welcome, which was awesome. I hope I saw a lot of you there, so thank you for being fun and taking a leadership role. Beyond that, there's just been a lot of meetings around campus, catching up on a lot of different stuff with the university internally, and also with the SU internally. So you can read about some of the meetings that I had here. Some things of note, we're currently working on our MNIF review project with two members of the administration, so the GSA and myself. Basically, we want to work on a way that we can have our mandatory non-instructional fees and present them in a way so that's accountable, so students actually know where that money goes. For those of you who've been on campus for even longer than like two years, you'd know that we've been talking about MNIFs for like a decade. So this is an ongoing project. A highlight of this week was also our board orientation that Governor Kahn wrote about in his report. He did a pretty good summary, so please check that out. It was a lot of fun, and just a lot of stuff went on. If you have any specific questions, just let me know, but it's just been catching up in a lot of meetings, so thank you.
Thank you very much, President Kinda. Any other members of the executive who wish to make a report? Seeing none. We'll move into board and committee reports. Do any committee chairs or members of any boards wish to make a report? Governor Kahn, go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay, just first I'm using this. is the last portion of it. So I've been, as the SU rep on the board of directors for the Student Legal Services, I've been working on a proposal to basically kind of a partnership between the Graduate Student Association and the Student Legal Services, and basically an arrangement similar to what the SU already has with SLS, where there's an arrangement where the organization gives a certain amount of money to SLS, and in return, SLS provides their services for free to the rest of that union. A copy of that proposal is on the last page of the late editions. Yeah, just check it out. If the reasons I put the price the way that it was for what I want to propose is just to match basically what the student union is already giving. Otherwise, yeah, that's about it.
Thank you very much. One quick item. When you're finished your speaking turn, you can just press the speaking button again so your microphone automatically turns off. I can do that from here, but I prefer if you guys did it. Any other reports? Councilor Flamin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This report is on behalf of the CGSR Radio Board, First Alberta Campus Radio Association, also known as FACRA. We had our annual general meeting on August 27th, in which the two SU members nominated earlier in the year were finally acclimated to their seats. One new GSA member and four new members, new board members, voted to a two-year term. The other remaining four members were finishing off the first year of their said two-year term. The first meeting for the new board was yesterday. I wasn't able to attend because of class. I was trying to get meeting minutes for tonight. Couldn't get them in time. I hope to have those for our next meeting. It sounds like, from what I've heard already so far, the biggest priority is going to be putting up a new transmitter. The funds are already there, so we just need to make a decision. And fundraising. We have Fundrive coming up and the casino event at Yellowhead. If anybody is interested in volunteering to help raise money for CGSR at FACRA, please let me know.
Thank you very much, Councillor Flannan. Councillor Ademaj?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As the representative of the Students' Union on the Gateway Board of Directors, I don't have anything from the board, but I would like to thank the Gateway for coming out to our meeting today. And live blogging. I may or may not be following the live blog right now as well. I know I'm sure other counselors are as well, but hopefully we see you guys at future meetings. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other reports? Seeing none. I'm actually going to skip over to item 7B from the late editions. Patrick moves to appoint one member of Students' Council as a permanent member of the Council Administration Committee. I apologize, this should have been done immediately after presentations. Is there a seconder for this motion? Councillor Flamin? Councillor Patrick, would you like to introduce?
Sure. Yeah, so as I'm sure all of you have heard, one of the permanent members of the Council Administration Committee recently resigned from that position, and we just need to replace his seats to ensure that we can meet quorum for all the CAC meetings.
Are there any questions for Councillor Patrick before we get into nominations? Councillor Angus?
Are you still meeting on Council Tuesdays, or is that going to change? Oh, I guess you're not.
I would assume so until otherwise told by the chair. Any other questions? Seeing none, are there any nominations? Councilor Ademaj?
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to nominate Councilor Flamin for the position.
Councilor Flamin, do you accept?
I do.
Wonderful. I think I saw Councilor Angus's placard up, maybe. Councilor Burton?
Cool. I'd like to nominate Councilor Angus.
Councilor Angus, do you accept? Awesome. Are there any other nominations? Seeing none, we'll do this the old-fashioned way. So again, once I get this system figured out, each speaker will have 1 minute to speak, and we'll go in the order in which counselors were nominated. Just give me 1 second, then we'll go to a vote. Is everyone okay with them just talking to you as opposed to them going into their microphones? Is that all right? Wonderful. Just going to time that on my phone. All right, Councilor Flanagan, you have 1 minute.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For anybody who may remember, this would be my third time running for Council Administration Committee. I believe the third time's the charm. And while not currently a permanent member of CAC, other than a couple of meetings towards the beginning of the spring and summer semester, or trimester. I have attended every other meeting by virtue of being a council member, and I would like to ascend from a regular council member to a permanent member. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Flanagan. Councillor Angus?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm a fellow councillor. Et bonjour, la présentation de la I would like to be a permanent member of CAP. I as well like to attend the meetings on a fairly regular basis, depending. And I also have two Senate degrees, so it's nice to add to my schedule. I'm usually there anyway, so it just makes to be a permanent member as well. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. So we're going to test out this voting system. So what we'll do is, if you'd like to vote for Councillor Flanagan, press yes. If you'd like to vote for Councillor Angus, press no. I'm sorry. If you want to do it by secret ballot, we can. I think this just might make it easier and might make for a good test run for voting. So voting is now open. Has everyone voted? Okay. Close votes. So, congratulations to Councillor Flanagan. Wonderful. So, now we'll go into question period. So, once I get a timer set up, do that. First question comes by way of Councillor Patrick to President Kinda. The question is on the main order papers. The response is on the late editions. Councillor Patrick, do you have a follow-up question? Wonderful. All right, so we'll move into oral questions. Are there any questions for question period? You just press the button, so I'll just go from the list here. Whoever number 46 is. Number 46, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is to the Undergraduate Board of Governors representative. So as of August 31st, the Board of Governors chair resigned, and so that chair seat is actually vacant right now. So my question is, what's the process right now in selecting a new Board of Governors chair?
Thank you for the question, Councillor Adamaj. Basically, right now, it's replaced by one of the kind of vice chairs, and they become the acting chair. So the acting chair right now is Dick Wilson. So this person basically holds the position of the chair boardman until the government wants to appoint someone else for that position. Thank you very much. Vote to number 55.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a question for the Speaker, actually. I hope I'm allowed to ask some questions. I was wondering when the logo on our order papers would be updated.
Thank you for the fantastic question, Vice President Rahman. I will talk to Deborah Johnson about this item.
Next time.
She informs me that it will be updated for the next meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for the Vice President Academic. I was wondering if he could provide to Council what I presume will be the final update on the Arts Faculty Association restructure.
Thank you for the question, Councillor Bronson. I don't think it'll actually be the last update, because we'll have a council meeting in between, when the SU passes off authority to OASIS. So we had an AGM last week. At that, we approved all the changes to the bylaws, including a revision of the association name from the Arts Faculty Students Association, or AFSA, to the Organization for Arts Students and Interdisciplinary Studies, OASIS, alongside adding a council for the organization, as well as another executive position. Next steps right now are filling all of those vacancies through the elections that are starting. Campaigning will start next Wednesday. Nomination packages are due on Friday. So let your friends know if you know anybody in arts. But basically, elections will finish at the same time as the Students' Council by-elections, and then we'll have to transition the new team so they're ready to take on their duties, and then after that, they'll have full authority and responsibility for representing our students at the faculty level.
Thank you very much. Councillor Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This question is for Governor Kahn regarding the GSA and SLS partnership. What are the next steps?
Thank you for the question. The next steps would be, basically I'm waiting for any updates from the Board of Directors for SLS, if they want to make any changes to it. I've already presented it to them at the last Board of Directors meeting on Friday, and they conditionally approved it. Assuming that they don't have any other additions to make on the proposal, I'm intending to submit it to them, to the GSA as soon as possible. And we'll probably have a meeting on my estimation would be in a couple of weeks. And from there, basically see if they also agree with it or how they would want to kind of make the arrangements, if possible, for the agenda. Thank you very much. Are there any other questions for question period? Governor Kahn? Question for VP, for the VP Academic. I was wondering if I could receive any updates on how things were in terms of negotiating potential some student control over tenureship for profs.
Thanks for the question, Governor Kahn. The reason this is stalled is because of the transition in the provost office, and so I'm going to bring it up with the newly appointed vice provost learning initiatives. I'm told that she's supportive of discussing a venue like this, or a change like this, but I'm not sure all the bureaucracy that has to be navigated to implement a change like this. But I'm optimistic for my first meeting with the Vice Provost on September 30th, and then I should have an update after that meeting, at their next council meeting after that meeting.
Thank you very much. I believe the next speaker is Councillor Flynn.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This question is for Vice President Hanwell. Earlier in the year, you met with municipal representatives regarding housing around campus, specifically if I recall correctly, in and around the McKern and Belgravia area. I was wondering if there's been any progress made on that at all in the last couple of months.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you for the question. Yeah, so there was another, so I went to a consultation meeting, and it wasn't necessarily with elected representatives from the city, but rather staff from the city and people from McKernan and Belgravia. I went to the one consultation session. The next consultation session I couldn't make. I don't know where I was. I want to say I was in Calgary, and I was unable to make. So they only had those two. I actually haven't followed up with what came out of that consultation thing. I have a feeling that it's going to go forward regardless, because the kind of sentiment that I got from the people from the city is that they kind of more wanted to quell some of the concerns that the people in McKern and Belgravia had. But that's a good point. I should ask them what they're going to do in the future, and kind of if there's anything more in regards to that plan. So I will talk to them and I'll get back to you.
Thank you very much. Are there any other questions for question period? Seeing none. Close question period there. Oh, sorry, Councilor Flanagan.
This question is for Vice President Bondarchuk. I was wondering if there's been any progress made on the smart card fare U-Pass thing that was briefly touched upon earlier in the summer.
Awesome. Thank you for the question. So, to give people a bit of the background, ETS and the Students' Union are both interested in moving eventually towards smart card technology for the One Card. It's a better way for Edmonton Transit to be able to track ridership for students that are using the One Pass, because we all do have to pay into it. So, on our end, it would track a much better number of how many students use the service and what kind of... and how we can negotiate using that, and for Edmonton Transit to see where the most needed areas are for expansion or kind of increasing the, what's the word that they used? That's the thing. It's like, okay, just to make sure more buses come faster.
Ridership.
Sorry. Okay, back on track. So the idea, is to have smart card technology like a chip or like a tap card. For the One Card, what we're seeing now is that the university, with their One Card system, isn't quite ready to move on it yet. So what we're trying to do is to convince them that it is the best way to go. It could also be used for like our library cards, for housing residents, so just a lot better than a swipe card. Unfortunately, we just haven't had a chance to meet with UPass distribution, and we could welcome. It's been very busy. But next time that we do meet with finance and administration about the One Card, it is on my list to bring up. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any other questions before we close question period? Seeing none, we'll close question period there. Move on to board and committee business. Item 6A, Christensen Duan moved to adopt the second reading of Bill Number 6 and amend Bylaw 2100 based on the advice of the CRO and recommendation of Bylaw Committee. Councillor Christensen, would you like to introduce?
Go ahead. So this is the second time we're bringing this forward. I guess the second reading, and this is just the change if the CRO is ever going to be seeking a second term. Right now, the rules are very unclear about how that would proceed, and this will just clear it up. And I believe it's in the order paper, the actual amendments.
Thank you very much, Councillor Christensen. Is there any debate on item 6A? Yes, Vice President Hanwell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just had one question. When it says throughout all these and I'm sorry to cut this now, but when it goes through all these motions, when it says on advice of the CRO, I just had a question. If the CRO has specifically advised this change in bylaw, then awesome, but I just want to make sure that we're not putting words necessarily into her mouth. I know that you talked with her, but I'd just like to make sure that she specifically advised that these changes be made.
Councillor Christensen? So, like you said, we did talk to her, and these were specific things that she wanted changed, all the ones that have that clause in there, and that was the way that I differentiated those that were bylaw started versus her, bylaw initiative. Anyway, and so yeah, they might not be 100% exactly what she said, but they were what bylaw committee took to be the essence of what she said and turned into actual legislation.
Thank you very much, Councillor Christensen. Is there any further debate on item 6A? Seeing none, we'll go to a vote. The voting system is now live. Close voting in 3, 2, 1. So that item carries with 24 in favor, 0 opposed, and 4 abstentions. Wonderful. Before we move on to item 6B, is this voting system / microphone system working for everyone? Okay, good. Sort of, maybe, a little bit. Room for improvement? Okay. Duly noted. Yes, Councillor Jason Long.
I just realized that perhaps, Mr. Speaker, you can consider asking if any abstentions would like to be noted, if that was the case. Yeah.
That is a very good point. Would the abstentions who abstained from the last vote like to be noted? Okay. So, Councillor Zhang, proxy. Mr. Sood?
Yeah.
Would like to abstain? Okay. Wonderful. Any other abstentions who would like to be noted? Thanks for catching that, Councillor Wong. Wonderful. So we'll move on to item 6B. Christensen Patrick, move to adopt the second reading of Bill Number 7 and amend Bylaw 2200, Section 23, and Bylaw 2300, Section 17, based on the advice of the CRO and recommendation of Bylaw Committee. Councillor Christensen, would you like to introduce?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So this is the amendment that will allow for people to have their preferred name included on the ballot, where in the past they had to use their legal name or a derivative thereof. This will allow people, for example, Annie, who was forced to use her legal name when it's not even the name that she goes by. So just as an example.
Thank you very much, Councillor Christensen. Is there any debate on this item? Councillor Lewis, go ahead.
This is the same question I had during the first reading as well. Just what is the definition of satisfactory evidence in this situation? It just leaves it a little vague and open-ended.
Thank you very much, Councillor Lewis. Councillor Kevin Wong?
Again, it's the same question as Councillor Lewis. What is meant by satisfactory evidence? Also, how do you provide it? What is a procedure that the CRO must adopt in order to take, the preferred name as a preferred name?
Thank you very much. Councillor Duan?
Thank you for the questions. So, as bylaw, we decided that this is more or less up to the CRO's discretion to what they find to be satisfactory. We cannot legislate the CRO to the point. I think they should have some leeway. For example, when we run, the CRO allowed us to use our preferred names on the poster, and she just verified it by Facebook, I believe. But you also have to keep in mind that whoever is running as a candidate would not detriment themselves and run as a name that no one would know them by. So as a candidate, I don't think we're going to have that problem anyways, and the CRO can probably find legitimate ways such as Facebook, such as Bear Tracks, etc. to verify what is a name that they normally go by.
Thank you very much. Councillor Allard, I think, is next.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I was pretty much going to say exactly the same thing as Councillor Dewan. Just to reiterate that these bylaws govern the behavior of the CRO, who is in charge of ensuring the elections process is fair and equal and clear, transparent. So by using language like satisfactory, we're leaving it up to the discretion of the CRO to use a method of their choosing that's appropriate for the candidate, and we trust that the CRO will be fulfilling their job duties because we're trying to avoid legislating for a poor CRO. We have to assume that they are going to be doing their job and working to create the most fair election possible. So we're giving them the room to maneuver here and take this on a case-by-case basis. Because really, this is what they were doing before anyways, but now it's in bylaw. Now they can pursue this. So.
Thank you very much, Councillor Allard. I believe Councillor Burton is next. Councillor Dion, sorry.
All good. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to speak in favor of this this motion. I'd like to point out that it will really benefit transgender and non-binary students because their legal name may not be the name that they go by, and that can be really, really harmful to those students who want to run for student council and may prevent them from running in the future.
Thank you very much, Councillor Dion. Is there any further debate on item 6B? Seeing none, we'll once again go to a vote. Please vote now. Voting will close in 3, 2, 1. So that motion carries with 25 in favor, 0 opposed, and 2 abstentions. Would the abstentions like to be noted? Wonderful. So that motion carries. Yes.
Are you recording the individual vote or the vote as a group? Because previously when we raised our placards to vote, you could record to see who voted in favor for abstain or against certain things. But now how would you do that?
So normally I would only record each individual council member's vote if there was a call for division.
Okay.
We haven't gotten to that yet. Councillor Patrick, nice big smile on your face. I saw that. If we ever go to a call for division, probably just vote by a show of hands or just by calling out the individual's name as opposed to just going off of the screen. The screen might just be there to confirm numbers, so make sure that we have the right numbers. That being said, though, sometimes it happens in a call for division where people would like to change their votes. So I'll take the vote that we take verbally as the correct record. Does that make sense to everybody? Anyone have any questions about that specifically? So if council is wondering, unless there's been a call for division made, I haven't been recording your individual votes. So I don't know how you voted if there wasn't a call for division. So hopefully that question's answered. So we'll move on to item 6C. Christensen Bonnerchuk moved to adopt the second reading of Bill Number 8 and amend Bylaw 2200, Section 25, based on advice of the CRO and recommendation of Bylaw Committee. Councillor Christensen, would you like to introduce?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This amendment is just to give the CRO the ability to counsel. Daily meetings during executive elections. It was something that was done in the past, but was not technically the
legally allowed, and now it will be.
Thank you very much, Councillor Christensen. Is there any debate on item 6C? Seeing none, is there anyone opposed to carrying item 6C? Is there anyone who would like to have their abstention noted for item 6C? Seeing none, that motion carries unanimously. Moving right along to item 6D, Christensen Duan moved to adopt the second reading of Bill number 9, the amend bylaw 2400 on the recommendation of bylaw committee to maximize representation of vacant students' council and GFC seats. Councillor Christensen, would you like to introduce?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This amendment is just to make it possible for vacant seats on student council to be filled more readily. The current deadline is August 15th, and sometimes the election could be as late as October 31st, which is not this case, but potentially could be. And if the deadline is August 15th, people might resign between then and August or October. So this will just allow for more of the vacant student council and GFC seats to be filled.
Thank you very much, Councillor Christensen. Is there any debate on item 60? Councillor Flanagan?
Quick question, maybe to clarify. So the way it stands now, somebody has to resign before August 15th for a seat to be available on the by-election. And since the nomination packages were already released, if there were any more vacancies, those would be not up for grabs, correct? Is there any way to extend that at all? Because it still seems like it's not enough time, in my opinion.
Is that Vice President Bonnerchuk?
Yes, awesome. So I'd like to speak in favor of this motion to address some of the kind of like timeline concerns or what's going to happen with this. So the idea behind this one is that currently under the bylaw, if a student resigns before August 15th, then a by-election has to happen, or if there are any vacant seats. If there are no vacant seats and nobody resigns before August 15th, then it's good. No by-election is held. And if there is, well, then there is. The CRO does get to decide any time between September 1st and October 31st when they want to hold that by-election. There are a required 3 weeks between the election date and when the nomination packages have to come out. So what this would do is it would say if someone resigns before August 15th and the by-election is already triggered, then up until those packages are released, students from councilors are able to resign and have their seat added to the by-election. If nobody resigns before August 15th, and then somebody does on August 16th, but it was full before, then unfortunately we wouldn't be able to have a by-election. But this would open up the possibility for more students to have seats. We had a flexible timeline, so depending on when the by-election is held, there's still enough time, so it won't be confusing for those seeking seats, because they'd still have, people would have to resign before the packages come out, but not so late that we push the by-election into October, November, or end up having council seats vacant for longer than they have to be. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Vice President Bonnerchuk. Are there any other items of debate for this motion? Seeing none, we'll once again go to a vote. Please vote now. Voting will close in 3, 2, 1. So that motion carries with 26 in favor, 0 opposed, and 2 abstentions. Would the abstentions like to be noted? Wonderful. So that motion carries. Thank you. We'll move on to item 6E. Christensen Patrick moved to adopt the second reading of Bill Number 10 and amend Bylaw 2200, Section 47, and Bylaw 2300, Section 38, based on the advice of the CRO and the recommendation of Bylaw Committee. Councillor Christensen, would you like to introduce? Just give me 1 second here.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. So this amendment is to the complaint section of bylaw, which presently has a time restriction on how long the CRO has to rule. So if they receive a complaint, they have to rule within 12 hours, according to the current way the bylaws are written. As we saw this year, sometimes it does take more investigation for proper and thorough rulings to be produced. And because that is the case, we decided that they're in circumstances where it was deemed necessary that they could take it more than 12 hours and not be contravening bylaw. So that's what we have proposed here.
Thank you very much, Councillor Christensen. We'll go into debate. I think first with President Kinda.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is just a question with clarification in terms of how it's written. Does that mean we're going to get rid of the lines that say 12 hours? Because right now it says that they shall rule on the complaint within 12 hours, but at the same time, they're empowered to take adequate time. So what does that mean?
Councillor Allard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So to respond to that, and maybe to talk a little bit more about the process that we went through at Bylaw Committee, this change we debated for quite a significant period of time, because what we wanted to avoid was having a situation. There were two situations we wanted to avoid. One in which the CRO had to rule within 12 hours and did not have the time to gather proper evidence to make an educated ruling. And then the other situation in which they take the time to make an educated ruling but have to release an incomplete ruling within 12 hours and then take the further time to gather the evidence. So what we decided on is by stating notwithstanding and stating that the CRO is empowered to take adequate time, it leaves it to the CRO's discretion to determine in what situations they are required to take more than 12 hours to gather evidence, to properly respond to a complaint or their own discovery of a contravention of bylaw, in which case the previous clause is notwithstanding. But we left in the 12 hours because it still binds the CRO to responding to most complaints, which will not require over 12 hours, will not require gathering of evidence or anything like that. Like, it doesn't take, you know, 36 hours to determine if there's too many posters at CSIS or something like that. So we kept in the 12 hours to keep a standard, and then in the occasional case in which the CRO will be required to take more time than that, it's up to their discretion, basically, and what they find in their investigation. But since this happens anyways, because the CRO, in cases like this, will likely contravene bylaw, we're just putting it in bylaw that they are empowered to take the time, adequate time, that they need to investigate if it comes down to a guy or a tribunal and appeal.
Thank you very much. Are there any additional items of debate for this motion?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yeah, so I still think there's a bit of an issue with this, in that if it takes 13 hours, and I'm a candidate and the CRO rules against me or for me in 13 hours, forgive my ignorance, but which bylaw would I go to? Because I could technically say that 12 hours is adequate time? Like, I think there's... I just need a little bit of clarification on that one.
President Kinda, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yeah, I'm still, like, I can see, you know, 2 or 3 years from now where somebody reads this bylaw, and it's a little confusing just because I think it could be worded better. So before we vote on this, I would encourage people to think about how to word this better, unless you're all completely okay with it. Because it is a little confusing. Like, especially with that. Like, I get what Mr. Allard is saying after he explains it, but I don't see that reflected here. And I think the word notwithstanding still doesn't make that clear. So I'll reflect on it for a bit, but that's it.
Are there any other items of debate? Councillor Christensen?
So, like, it was extremely taxing going through this one as well and coming up with an actual solution to the way we wanted the wording to be, because it's very hard to get across that they can take more than 12 hours, but they should take 12 hours. And that's obviously somewhat confusing. The way things are right now is that the CRO, like we saw not this past year but the year before, could take 48 hours and no one cared. Because technically, if the CRO breaks that rule, nothing can happen. The ruling won't be shot down because there's no bylaw silent in terms of what happens if the CRO or if the CRO does not rule in 12 hours. So this just gives some legitimacy to being able to break the bylaw. Like, even if they rule, like, in the example, 13 hours, right? Oh, and then you went and challenged that ruling at Dybor, they would say, sorry, the CRO, we're bylaw silent, the CRO can do whatever they want. So this is just a way to kind of get across that these exceptions need to happen, and these exceptions will happen, and at least this is a way that we can show that we've acknowledged this.
Thank you very much. Councillor Allard?
Thank you very much. There we go. Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. A challenge that comes up a lot in bylaw, and I'm sure other committees as well, is setting limits. What's the functional difference between 12 hours, 16 hours, 24 hours, 8 hours? There are so many situations where a different limit would be probably better than another one. And so in this case, we decided to keep the 12-hour limit because it provides a standard for the CRO, because if we remove that, then you'll have a situation in which complaints are not addressed because the CRO is busy. It's elections time. They work, like, they have so many things on their plate that a small complaint just might not be addressed. So we wanted to keep the 12 hours, which keeps the standard for the CRO, and then insert a clause in which it says that this can be broken, but by virtue of the fact that it is a separate clause, we felt that it was sort of inherent, that this would be read and understood as only in exceptional circumstances, in which case the CRO is required to investigate, and requires over 12 hours to actually complete that investigation. If it comes down to actually who would you appeal to, I'm not that familiar with how the Dybor would actually go about interpreting that bylaw. That's a gap in my knowledge. So that, I will admit, perhaps we could look into further. The reason we were trying to make these changes is so that they would apply for the by-election in case any issues arise. But if council is really not in favor of this, we can send it back to committee and continue to workshop this and bring this to next council meeting, but it would mean it would not apply to the by-election. So if we do send this back to committee, I would encourage you to all come to the next bylaw meeting and we can discuss it.
Thank you very much, Councillor Allard. President Kinda with an amendment.
Mr. Speaker, so I'd like to make an amendment. If you scroll down to the section under line 313, basically amalgamating, I'll show you. So where it says on top in the gray box, where a complaint is received and is found to be complete as set out in section 47, the CRO is encouraged to rule on the complaint within 12 working hours, unless it is an extraordinary situation that requires more time. And so this amendment would functionally get rid of the section highlighted in blue, and it would change the second box in gray. So I can repeat that again if you'd like to write it down.
Sorry, so say that again?
Sure. So where a complaint is received and is found to be complete, as blah, 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 the CRO is encouraged to rule on the complaint within 12 working hours unless it is an extraordinary situation that requires more time.
So, where complaint is received and is found to be complete, as set out in section 47.1, the CRO is encouraged to rule on the complaint within 12 working hours
of receiving the complaint. extraordinary situation that requires more time.
Would council like me to type that amendment up on the board? Can everyone see that fairly well? Is that accurately reflected?
Yes.
Okay. So, is there a seconder for this amendment? Councilor Flamin? President Kindo, would you like to introduce your motion?
Nope.
Okay. We currently have Councilor Lewis on the speaker list.
Solves a lot of the issues from the confusion of two quite literally contradictory bylaws by replacing the whole shall with recommended. I think that if council doesn't find this as an adequate solution to the contradiction, then it's best that we either send this back to bylaw or pass the solution.
Thank you very much. I believe Councillor Angus is next.
Just for added clarification, would it be up to the CRO to determine if there's an extra, really extraordinary situation?
All right. Thank you very much. Councillor Patrick?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to speak against this amendment. It was previously mentioned that there was a contradiction between two of the clauses in the bylaw as it was originally presented to council. I do not believe this is the case. It may seem like they contradict, but it ensures that the CRO had either 12 hours or adequate amount of time. If you say the CRO must rule in an adequate amount of time, that could reduce underneath 12 hours, and we want to ensure that the CRO is given enough time to do their actions. It's a very busy job during election season, and so we want to say they'll definitely have 12 hours, but if they need more, they will be able to get it. This amendment also has moved away from like the strong language of shall and is instead encouraged to, and I think this reduces candidates' ability to demand like a ruling in a reasonable amount of time. I think it would be much harder to make a complaint about the CRO releasing a late ruling if
how bylaw is worded.
Thank you very much, Councillor Patrick. Councillor Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to vote in favor of this amendment. It is reminiscent of a suggestion I brought forth in bylaw, whereas a CRO would have been required to acknowledge receipt of a complaint before resetting the clock on the amount of time they had to actually rule on it. To me, this seems like a suitable compromise between the two.
Thank you very much, Councillor Flanagan. Governor Khan?
Here's my issue with both of them. It's just the fact that I hate, like, for something this nuanced, like, you really want, like, strict rules, and we're using really interpretive language in both of them. In the one that we have in front of us, it's, on the floor, we have the issue of what's an extraordinary situation. And over here, empowered shall, like, in both of them, you're kind of on two different spectrums. What I want to see is something a lot more concrete, and just kind of applying how our judicial system works, that if you do need an extension of time, you basically send an application to the court to get that, especially for things like collecting evidence. So something like that, applying it to here, I'd like to see basically to keep the 12 working hours there, and the second one being that if they need an extension of time, they basically do some sort of application or something with like the dive board chair, and someone that you can say, hey, this is my issue, this is the evidence I'm collecting, what do you think, can I have an extension of time and have that conversation early on. This solves another issue too, is the fact that because the languages are vague, once you get to the dive board hearing, like, it becomes kind of a roll of the dice of how that's going to be interpreted, and I want to take that away. I want to have that conversation earlier outside of like a controversial area where there's going to be a lot of reporting happening, and do that earlier, and so we have an idea of what that extraordinary or shall be kind of situation happens. I could reinterpret that to basically put my idea in there, but I guess I'd like to hear what others have to say about it.
Thank you very much. Councillor Allard.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. So I have a couple points. I would like to speak against this amendment. One thing I would like to say is that the whole, and this is sort of echoing what Governor Khan has said, which is that the whole point of bylaw is to lay out a process that can be followed, and when we use language like encourage, that doesn't really like define a process that is like holding the CRO to a specific set of actions. And really, all I find that this amendment does is change the language which is being interpreted. So, in the original motion, what is left open to interpretation is what is adequate time to gather evidence. Whereas in this situation, what's left open to interpretation is what is an extraordinary situation that requires more time. And I also have issue with requires more time because that doesn't actually specifically lay out what the more time is needed for. I know that's probably intuitive, but I think it should be stated in bylaw that what the situation is allowing for is the CRO to gather evidence. It's worth noting that this situation really only holds in response to a complaint. So it is only when a complaint is received that the CRO has 12 hours. And there was an idea floating around in bylaw that I would bring forward if people are interested. That the CRO would not have to release a ruling, but would simply have to respond to the complaint within 12 hours. Public acknowledgement of a response, and within that public acknowledgement, they could state that they are going to require more than 12 working hours, because in the situation in which the CRO themselves comes across a potential breach of bylaw, there is actually no time limit. It's only when there is a complaint received that there's the 12-hour time limit from receiving that complaint. So I would like to speak against this this amendment, but I would say there's a discussion we can have about the main motion. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Councillor Tronson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thanks to President Kinda for bringing this amendment forward. I think it raised a lot of important questions, but I am going to speak against this amendment, just in keeping with Governor Khan's comments that looking for more concrete language, less interpretive language, although I do appreciate the debate on this, and I think it raises some interesting questions that will probably come back on debate on the main motion. So I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Tronson. We'll go
to President Kinda.
Mr. Speaker, is it possible to make an amendment to the amendment?
Sure.
Okay. So I really do like the conversation or the debate that we've had, and I do agree that like neither really hit the mark. So I'm wondering if council would be okay if I change the wording courage to shall. Like, the idea of this amendment was just to put these two together so that upon reading this bylaw for the first time, you don't think that there's two different ways to rule or two different time limits. So I hope this solves the problem. If not, I understand. But I like the conversation, so hopefully this works.
Is there a seconder for this amendment to the amendment? Councillor Flannan? Would you like to introduce President Kinda?
No.
Okay. So again, that was Kinda Flannan. So we'll go to, I believe it's Councillor Ademange.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am going to vote against the amendment to the amendment and the amendment, not because I disagree with both, but because I think this bill should be sent back to a bylaw committee in general. I think that there's a lot of vagueness with the language of it, and there's obviously a lot of inquiries from other councillors that aren't in bylaw committee, which I believe that the best way to solve much of these problems would be to send this back. So therefore, I encourage everybody to vote against the amendments and vote against the bill itself to be sent back to the committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Ademaj. Councillor Angus?
I just have one question for the overall, the amendments to the overall bill as well. Was this CRO consulted in this whole changing of process? Because if you want to apply it to this current by-election, like, would there be the issue of having confusion for the CRO as well? Like, does she express any personal opinion on these changes being made?
Thank you very much, Councillor Angus. We'll go to Councillor Chang.
Yeah, I was going to ask the same question as the previous speaker. And also, I think, since there's so much debate in the main meeting, you know, work should be done in the bylaw level. I think we should just bounce this back to the bylaw meeting and have them just iron it out before presenting it back to us again. So I would not support this motion.
Point of order, Mr. Speaker?
Yes.
I hope I'm right, but right now we should be talking just about the shall, whether the amendment is correct or not. So we can go back down from the second level of amendments in a second, but I think right now discussion needs to be on is shall an appropriate substitution for is encouraged to, and then we can keep talking about this, just so we don't get stuck in weird platitudes at all levels.
That's 100% accurate, so make sure, the reason the first comment from Councillor Ademaj was relevant was because he said he would vote against this particular amendment for the following reason. Kind of divulged into questions on the main motion, so make sure your questions or comments are relevant to the motion at hand as opposed to the amendment that was made earlier or the main motion itself. Does that make sense to everybody? Does that not make sense to anyone? Wonderful. We'll go to Councillor Allard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to vote against this amendment for the following reasons. Sorry, fiddling with the new technology here. I understand, I think this is better than the original amendment, but I'll be voting against it for the same reasons, which is that in other areas of bylaw, we have a similar process in which you have a clause and you have sections which indicates, which specify or indicate extenuating circumstances. I think what this is coming down to is a difference of opinion in how each person is going to read this. But I think it's actually more confusing having it within one clause because it weakens the CRO shall rule on a complaint within 12 hours by immediately stating afterwards, unless it's an extraordinary situation that requires more time. I will be voting against this.
Thank you very much, Councillor Allard. Councillor Lewis?
I'd like to call the question.
There are no more speakers on the speaker's list, so we'll go to a vote on the amendment to the amendment. The voting system is now live, so please vote.
Because I'm just trying to find out. So they move to amend section whatever as follows.
Yeah.
So it would just be section.
To be those two.
It'd be just, yeah, okay.
So close voting in 3, 2, 1. So that motion, the amendment to the amendment, fails with 10 in favor, 16 opposed, and 2 abstentions. So we'll go back to the amendment. Vice President Rahman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So, like, if I was forced to pick right now between what was initially proposed versus what's on the board right now, I would take what's on the board right now, because it says, like, let's try to stick to 12 hours, but if we can't stick to 12 hours, then we can take something else. The reason, like, at the end of the day, I'd like this to go back to bylaw is because within the language of extraordinary, like, people can interpret extraordinary differently. And, like, there's a big difference between, look, I'm the CRO, this just came across my desk at 7 p.m., and I have until 7 a.m. to schedule a meeting with all the relevant people, versus, I don't know, something a lot different, like someone accused another candidate of using social media improperly, and it's really easy to rule on that based on what's already in our bylaws. And so that's why I'd really like this to go back to bylaw, because I don't think that this council is really equipped to have a discussion on what extraordinary is, but I trust that bylaw is to have that type of discussion.
Thank you very much.
Point to the parliamentary.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. What is the procedure for sending a motion or like a proposed bylaw change back to committee?
So the motion would just be to refer back to committee. I can get the exact wording from you over recess once we decide on the amendment, because we will be going through a recess. But I believe the motion off the top of my head is just to refer to committee. So you just make a motion to refer item, what is it, 6D, back to bylaw committee. So we'll go finish the debate on the amendment. Once we've voted on the amendment, we'll go to a quick recess and we'll come back. So, Councillor Christensen.
Just to address whether the CRO was consulted or not, she was the one who suggested this change be implemented. This change, the way we actually have it written, had essentially no, it meant nothing, to be completely honest. It is just to, it's as Ben has said, it is a normative thing that just explained how the process is already done. If the CRO breaks the ruling as it currently stands, or the rules as it currently stands, literally nothing happens. They could rule in 24 hours, 36 hours, 4 days. No one, like, every challenge that has ever been against that particular thing is always struck down as not a valid, like, concern. So we were just, the point of this was to actually just put something in there that made it technically legal. And I'm all in favor of actually bringing this back to bylaw so we can discuss it further.
Thank you very much. Councillor Allen?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to remind everyone, though, and I am actually in favor of bringing this back to bylaw. I think this conversation, we're not equipped to have it at this level. I just would like to state one more time, though, that if we bring this back to bylaw, this will not apply for the by-election, which, as Councillor Christensen has mentioned,
has not been an issue in every other election because the CRO is just going to do it anyways. But for, you know, proper procedure and good governance, it's a concern. So I am in favor of bringing this back to bylaw, though, because really what it's coming down to is a wording and comprehension issue. I think we all agree on the spirit. Now we just need to figure out exactly what the best way to word it is.
Thank you very much. Councillor Flynn.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As alluded to before, if we do refer this motion back to committee, it would not apply in time for the by-election. I think the amendment we have on the board is better than what exists now and what was proposed. If we could approve it in time for this upcoming election and revisit it for more permanent solution afterwards, when we have a lot more time to kind of hammer out the details and get something that's amenable to all parties.
Councillor Christensen?
Just for me personally, I would rather go into the by-election almost having the way it is now, because it's at least a workable solution rather than implementing this in the event that an thoroughly thought-through plan could perhaps backfire and something strange could happen before we thought it all the way through, since we seem to be in agreement that going back to bylaw is probably a good idea.
With that, my speaker's list is exhausted for the amendment, so we'll go to a vote. The voting system is now live. Close votes in 3, 2, 1. So that motion fails with 7 in favor, 18 opposed, and 2 abstentions. As I alluded to earlier, we're now 90 minutes past our start time, so we will recess until 8 o'clock p.m. Also,
just a reminder, everyone, they're coming to pick stuff up potentially starting at 8, so make sure all your reasonable dishes are back at the food station by 8 o'clock.
Okay, my heart's just
eating on the table.
Powering the
yes.
This is from the First Amendment, right?
Right.
And then for the Second Amendment, they actually did the opposite, right? So for the First Amendment, they took out shall. They crossed out shall, and they said they encouraged to. They did that for the First Amendment, and then for the Second Amendment, they kind of were like, that's a bad idea.
They reverted back to shall. Yeah. Okay.
It was a Chanel ball that was like her, like,
She was like commanding that. She's like, all of you vote none of these guys. Like, get these candidates out. They aren't even here. Like, get them. And like,
nobody in this room likes you, but I don't care.
Yeah, no. It was like, at the EGM in March. It actually started a quick conversation about should the DROs report to the CRO at this point to like make things more clear.
What is this recording? Is that after his username?
No.
About
all
of
the process. Still that works.
Yeah. Be waited, like, tie it all together or something.
Maybe that's a CSJR.
Is there a way to get the recordings through like these?
I don't know. I was thinking about that.
Is it still there?
I don't know. She didn't know enough to ask her.
Or no, sorry.
Me to ask her.
Like, I don't know how
to work. Something I'll get to ask her.
Are there anything going otherwise?
Fine. As long as you guys don't...
We'll make sure of that.
I like it. Let's work on raising money.
The only thing I swear is like, I know everyone's going to be moving around. I'm trying to figure out where everyone's going to be sitting every meeting.
Would it be?
Levi, is it okay? In the minutes, I'm going to put you down as CSJR Board of Governors. Is that okay, or would you prefer something else?
Board of Directors.
I'm going to be late for every council, so I can't.
Okay.
I'll show you what Rebecca said. I agree with you.
The one who noted wanted the abstention to be noted.
His name is Yateen Su.
Okay, so I'll just put. Should I put like this or Mr.
Mr. I just put Mr.
Yeah, I'm not coming from a movie.
You can just put Mr. Suit, you can just put it.
Suit, okay.
Yeah. So unless there's understanding. And I'm sure, you know what, I'm sure, thinking about it, I feel like this is a tax to be amended to making a change to say, where's the change? But there's a possibility of
That's another reason why I
She has a really, she has a really serious,
So are we just going directly into a vote after this?
Not yet. We're still going to debate. If you still want to talk,
you don't have to.
Hopefully, it's directly into a vote.
You have a talk about that.
Well, we have to get more people to come, blah, blah, blah. Which might still be the case this year. I guess less work on your rent trying to shut down the blog. It'd be more work if they were saying this year. Yeah, that's what I meant. It's like, it's not like that. Just shut up, Sam. Just shut your mouth, Sam. There was a certain point where I was like, screw this issue. Alright. Let's call back to order, 8:00 p.m. Please return to your seats. Unless you're headed out. And please make your exits. Alright, so we'll go back to debate on item 6E. Is there any further debate on item 6E? Yes, Vice President Rahman.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to motion to... can you give me a hand?
You'd like to move to refer item 6E back to Bylaw Committee?
Yes, please.
Is there a seconder for this motion? Councillor Jason Wong, is there a hand up first? All right. We'll go to a vote on Vice President Rahman's motion. Please vote now. Close voting, 3-2-1. So that motion carries with 21 in favor, 2 opposed, and 2 abstentions. Would the abstentions like to be noted? Wonderful. So that motion carries. So this item is referred back to Bylaw Committee. Is that a point of parliamentary inquiry?
Just pressing the business button. So.
Yes, Councillor Allard.
I don't really know how this works. Can I just tell people what the next ballot committee
is? Sure. So if you'd like to come speak on this, the next meeting of bylaw committee will be next Wednesday at 5 p.m. I'll send out the room location in the WhatsApp. Thank you very much, Councillor Allard. Move on to item 6F. Christensen Duan moved to amend bylaw to eliminate the definition of polling stations within the context of SU elections based on the following first principles. Bill number 11. Number one, presently the definition of polling stations remains ambiguous and therefore makes interpretation of elections bylaws challenging. Number two, elections bylaws shall be amended to eliminate polling stations because of modern technological advancements. And given that polling stations are no longer used. Three, bylaws shall be amended to reevaluate the election voting process. Councillor Christensen, would you like to introduce?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So it was discussed at bylaw about how we're going to proceed with the definition of polling stations, given that people can vote on their phones now. We had a lot of debate about whether how we should approach that and if a phone is a polling station or not. And anyway, at the end of the day, we decided to come up with the solution of just eliminating the name polling stations, since the CRO no longer utilizes those, and that when they were utilized last, not this past year, but the year before, there was a very small number of votes. And so this will move to eliminate that, all mentions of that from bylaw, and work to just reevaluate specifically in bylaw 2100 about and 2400 about the voting process.
Thank you very much, Councillor Christensen. Councillor Allard?
Thank you very much. So just to further clarify, one of the main issues in bylaw was that there is a section that states that a poster cannot be within 6 feet or something, within a certain distance of a polling station. But it was ambiguous as to what a polling station is. Like, is someone voting on their cell phone while walking through cab a polling station? So we decided to just remove mentions of polling stations because it doesn't actually, by removing it from bylaw, it doesn't actually really affect the elections process because it's up to the CRO how they will run the elections anyways, the platform that they will run the elections anyways. And we have been moving towards a largely online platform. It's the opinion of bylaw committee that it is better to move towards and encourage exclusively online because it's better to have all of our votes collected through one platform. We also have a lot of groups that kind of hop onto our voting platform. So we were just hoping to move towards an online-only future for voting, also because physical polling stations in the past have garnered like less than 20 votes in total. And also this change was specifically recommended by the CRO, in case anyone's curious. Or, sorry, not this change. This change was interpreted by bylaw committee, but the issue was mentioned by the CRO.
Thank you very much, Councillor Allard. Vice President Rothman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The first thing I'll talk about is actually point number three, or first principle number three. I don't think that it's necessary to have this as a first principle, and I think that's like pretty self-explanatory that bylaw will be amended if we're going to bring amendments to Students' Council. But for the most part, I'm supportive of this amendment. The one thing that I'll note is that like logistically, I think it would be good to have like laptops or stations around campus. They don't have to be polling stations, but I think it would be beneficial to have like places where students can go to vote, like a physical place where students can go to vote. And the reason that I say that that's beneficial is because like students are, like a lot of emails get thrown at students, but sometimes just like being in cab and studying and then seeing a laptop that says, hey, you can vote here, motivates students to vote. So like, I do think that we can still have that. We can have both this and the first principles for the new bylaw, but that's just one thing that I'd like bylaw to keep in mind. But like, it can be beneficial to have polling stations, but they don't have to be called polling stations. You could do something else for them.
Thank you very much. Councillor Patrick?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I disagree with this previous sentiment that has been voiced. The third point in these first principles is important because it would justify the removal of the CRO's ability to continue to use polling stations. We do plan, or this is our vision of what we want to do, is remove the option of doing physical polling stations, and the third point would be required to do this. It was also mentioned potentially having computers set up around campus where students can vote. This would be, like, that would be a polling station, whether you call it a polling station or not. It would still be a station where people are voting, and then we would need to continue to write bylaws saying that you cannot plaster this computer with posters supporting you. That would be unfair. And I just disagree. I think this bylaw is very, very sound as it is right now.
Thank you very much, Councillor Patrick. Councillor Lewis?
I agree with VP Ron's sentiment on the fact that having laptops for students to vote on would be a potentially beneficial idea. Considering this, it might be possible that the total elimination of polling stations isn't the best way to go, although I can definitely agree that there are some things regarding polling stations that aren't worth having a bylaw anymore.
Thank you very much, Councillor Christensen.
With regard to keeping the physical polling stations, I agree it would probably be ideal to have them in a perfect world, but it costs the students' union money, to have people to man the polling station so they're not stolen. And it also, if I remember correctly, we had 6,000 votes last year, and 18, where the last one is out, 18 were on both physical polling stations. And in this era of modern technological advancement, I just think it's time to embrace the future.
I believe Councillor Hellard is next.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd also like to clarify that what we're doing in these first principles, and I agree with Vice President Rahman, is that we're removing references to polling stations, because by having the phrase polling station in bylaw, it makes it confusing as to how we define polling station. But by removing it, we remove that concern with, like, well, do you define a phone that's being used to vote as a polling station? But it doesn't necessarily mean that we can't, that the CRO can't decide to have computers that are put aside only for the purpose of voting. Like, let's say a bank of computers in the Cameron Computer Lab that for the 2 days of elections are only used for voting. It doesn't preclude the CRO from deciding to do that. It just removes references to polling stations from bylaw to deal with the concerns of, you know, like, is someone who walks by a poster while they're voting in contravention of bylaw? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Vice President Hanwell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just quick point of parliamentary inquiry. Can I, in my speaking turn, like, speak and then make an amendment at the end, or do I have to make an amendment? I forgot.
The latter.
The latter. So I have to make an amendment and then talk about it.
Yes. You could also alternatively say whatever you wanted to say and then rise again and make your amendment. That's also an option.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker.
Yes.
I'd like to make an amendment.
Go ahead.
I'd like to strike the third principle from motion 6F.
So you'd like to strike point 3, bylaw shall be amended to reevaluate the election voting process.
Yes.
Is that it?
Yes.
Okay. So, is there a seconder for this amendment? Vice President Rahman. Let's restart your time before we...
Thanks. I'll just go straight into debate.
Okay.
Okay. So why I brought this up is I think Vice President Rahman brought up a really good point with Principle 3 in that it's very vague, and bylaw shall be amended to reevaluate the election process. I think that doesn't really make it doesn't make sense to me, first of all, but the second thing is the election voting process, that's elections in general. So I would rather not pass a principle that allows us to reevaluate the entire election. And so I realize that that probably isn't the intent of the committee. So why I wanted to make this amendment is so that we can talk about it. And I don't think it's relevant to the first two principles. I don't know where I'm going with that, but that was pretty much it.
Thank you very much, Vice President Hanwell. Councillor Allard.
Thank you very much. So the point of point 3 is really specifically to amend the elections voting process to remove the possibility of physical polling stations and go entirely to an online model. That's exactly what we were intending, but we worded it the way that we did because we couldn't figure out another way to word it that wasn't getting too second principally. Basically, I guess, yeah, you could interpret this as us making some broad sweeping changes, so I guess we're asking you to have a little bit of trust in your bylaw committee. But I would disagree that the elections voting process refers to the whole elections. It's the voting process within the elections, and it doesn't talk about any of the other processes like campaigning or any of the other things that are outlined in the bylaw. So while I see your point, I hope that this clarification helps.
Request for information.
Yeah.
It's up to you.
Yeah, I accept it. Yeah.
Okay. So do you think, though, you'd be able to make the exact same changes without having Principle 3 in?
I don't think so, because the point of Principle 3 is to remove the possibility of using physical ballots and compelling the CRO to use an only online model, which isn't covered in 1 or 2. And so I do agree that maybe it could have been worded better, but that is the intent.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much. Councillor Christensen?
Just to build on what Councillor Allard said, another purpose of 3, which was kind of more of the main purpose when we added it, because it wasn't initially on the amendments that I drafted, was because we didn't have enough, we didn't look through every single amendment that this polling station change could possibly make, and so we wanted to leave ourselves some room to actually make these changes. Specifically, we want to remove scrutineers from the thing, and so we believe that 3 should be allowed to remove scrutineers, because there's no real purpose for scrutineers if it's like a press of a button. Furthermore, there's also no need for recounts anymore, because you would be pressing that button again. And so, like, basically, like, we could potentially just write those two words in scrutiny or whatever, but personally, I don't want to go through the process. Let's say we find something else that could be eliminated, and it's like, oh, now we have to go through first principles and second principles again, when we can all sit down at bylaw committee on Wednesday next week and discuss all the changes we wanted to make. Specifically, Vice President Bondarchuk had a few that he was really interested in moving. And so we're going to work on that next week. And so number 3, I believe, is instrumental in that. And also, because this is just first principles, if we were to do something quite tyrannical, I think you guys would be able to vote it down. It's not like we're going to eliminate elections by reevaluating that voting process. So if you're here at the next council meeting, that you can make sure that doesn't happen.
Thank you very much. We'll go to Councillor Lewis.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure the purpose of the first principles is to give an outline of what we're intending to do. I kind of think that when we're putting bylaw 3, Principle 3 in there, simply to say that in case we're interested in making some grand sweeping omnibus changes, we're going to leave that there just so we can do it later in case bylaw's interested, that it kind of defeats the purpose of having these first principles when they should be thought about and then brought to council because bylaw would like to point out that they want to change X, Y, and Z, not just recommend that, oh, we want to change the entire alphabet, maybe. Therefore, it either could be more specific or it could not be there, in my opinion.
Thank you very much. Councillor Tronson, I believe?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to respond to some of Councillor Lewis's concerns, well, Principle 3, it's not really, I don't get the sense that it's intended for bylaw committee to go and make these sweeping changes. I think it's more so giving them the ability to evaluate the implications that principles 1 and 2 will have on elections bylaws and then amend the subsequent sections of elections bylaws in keeping with the idea of principles 1 and 2. And so finding and enumerating every specific instance of a change that's going to be made to bylaw before this would be quite a Herculean effort, and I think it would be best if bylaw had the, I guess, leeway to go back through and really examine what implications making the changes that 1 and 2 talk about will have, and then bringing it back at second reading to council. So I don't think it's really intended to make grand sweeping changes. I think it's there so that we can evaluate all the possible implications. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Councillor Tronson. We'll go to Vice President Rahman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So the reason I really like this in my opening comments, I'm not super passionate about this stuff. I'm okay either way it goes, and I do trust bylaw for sure. But the reason that I flagged 3 in my opening comments is because when I think of first principles, I think of a statement that says X should be Y. Like in our first comment, it says the definition is ambiguous. And so when I think of first principles, I think of something that says the voting process for elections should be X. I don't think of we will amend as a first principle. It's more like something that we're going to do, but it's not really
a principle. And so that's what I really find it. And that's why I think, like, we should be talking about how the voting process should be, as opposed to what we're going to do to make it better for principles, first principles. But again, that's like just how I understood first principles, and that's how just like that stood out to me. But again, I do trust Bible, and I'm not super passionate about like removing the first principles if Bible thinks it's best. I just want to voice out this thinking.
Thank you very much, Vice President Rahman. Councilor.
Sorry, Mr. Speaker, call the question.
Okay. Yes, point of parliamentary inquiry. Go ahead.
So when you propose an amendment to amendment, can you propose just an alternate amendment? Like, could I propose an amendment to Vice President Hanwell's amendment that is an alternate wording of three, or because he's proposing strike it?
Yeah, I goofed on that. So
I would say that I would probably rule that amendment out of order. I think the amendment to the amendment is there so that you can clarify the amendment as we did in our last item of debate. I would say that if you wanted to change wording in point three, just wait until we go back to the main motion and propose that amendment. Yeah. But there was a call to question. We currently have one person on the speaker's list. I don't know if that was his speaking turn was his point of parliamentary inquiry, but we do have one person currently on there, so we will go to a vote on the call to question. I believe call to question requires a two-thirds majority. It's not debatable, not amendable. So voting should now be open. So all those in favor of calling to question, please vote now. Sorry, before we announce the actual results of the vote, just want to make sure there's a seconder to call to question. I heard some Council Christians said thank you. Sorry about that. So we'll close voting in 3, 2, 1. So call to question is carried. 18 in favor, 6 opposed, and 2 abstentions. Would the abstentions like to be noted? Nope, okay. So we will vote on the amendment to remove the third point. So please vote now. And we will close voting in 3, 2, 1. So the amendment fails, 11 in favor, 13 opposed, 3 abstentions. Would the abstentions like to be noted? Seeing none. Okay.
How many abstentions?
Three abstentions. So we'll go back to the main motion with Councillor Patrick.
Call to question?
I'm saying that his speaking turn already started because
okay.
Technical difficulties. I couldn't press his button quickly enough. So, Councillor Patrick, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to move an amendment. I would like to strike the third first principle. I'm also going to move the addition of a new third first principle and a fourth first principle.
Okay.
I'll read them out now. The third first principle would be voting shall only be done electronically. And the fourth first principle shall be bylaw shall be updated to take into account the inherent differences between electronic voting and previously used vote collection methods.
Do you have that written down somewhere?
Yes.
Can you send it to me? Before we go on to the actual wording. Is there a seconder for this amendment? Can we go with Vice President Bondarchuk? Let me copy that over to a Word file at some point.
Oh no, it looks like you're going to have it. My apologies.
Bear with me, it's a picture.
Apologies, Mr. Speaker.
Can everyone read that well enough? Okay, so those 2 points shall be added to 6F, and the existing 0.3 shall be removed. So there was a seconder, which I believe was Vice President Bondarchuk. Councillor Patrick, would you like to introduce?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think that this amendments addresses the concerns about bylaw committee having too much power, which is a valid concern to have. We are a bunch of crazy maniacs. But I also think it gives us the flexibility to do what we want to do with this bylaw to keep voting collection up to date.
Go to Councillor Allard.
Sorry.
No. Yes?
Sure, I'd like to speak in favor of this. I'd like to once again emphasize that these are first principles, and this essentially means exactly the same thing. So what we will be doing is taking these and updating all bylaw and bringing this forward in second principles. The changes that we will make will be consistent with the spirit of the first principles and the first 2 points. So I think that gets this across. This gets that across.
Thank you very much, Councillor Allard. We'll go to Councillor Lewis.
I'd like to thank Councillor Patrick for this amendment because it's just so much more beautifully specific. Even if it's not, just syntactically makes me happier. I think it's a lot less vague. I think it's a lot better. Support the amendment.
Thank you very much. Councillor Jason Wong. Is that
right? Yep. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd actually like to speak, or actually I should ask questions first. So I do think that the aforementioned 18 students who previously used the polling stations is a small portion compared to those who voted online. But I do still think that a vote is a vote. In many elections, like a single vote can decide the outcomes of the election. But previously, members of the bylaw committee suggested that the term polling station is vague, confusing, and I'm just wondering why the bylaw decided to remove it rather than to amend it or to clarify that, for example, mobile devices are not polling stations, whereas officially designated SU physical
Councillor Jason Wong. Just a reminder, make sure that your comments are pertinent to the motions being considered. So I'm assuming they're pertinent only because currently our polling stations have or would have physical balloting as opposed to electronic means of voting. So, but just make sure that it's very clear that you're speaking to the amendment as opposed to the main motion. So we'll go to Councillor Allard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Would it be germane to respond now that you said what you said? Just, I guess, okay, because this will explain our at least I will respond and state our once again, our intent for going only electronically. Sure, only 18 physical ballots were cast, but that's not to say that these students wouldn't have voted electronically. It is likely that they only voted at the polling stations because the polling stations were there. Every student on campus is given a campus CCID. Every student, maybe not every student has a phone or a computer. It's not fair to say that, but every student has access to the computer labs on campus. And yeah, maybe it isn't as quite as convenient, but you'd still be waiting in line at a physical polling station as you would for a computer in Cameron, let's say. And the reason we're moving to eliminate references to polling stations specifically is that bylaw does not require references to polling stations in bylaw for the elections to run. It's up to the CRO to decide the method of which votes will be collected. So removing polling stations really only clarifies things and removes a loophole. By defining it, we actually are only going to create more loopholes because then what is and what isn't a polling station, whereas if we just remove it, it's not even an issue. Because really, we're not removing the possibility, we're just removing the reference. I guess maybe it will be clear when we bring forward second principles, and then you can see every place in which it is referenced. And you can see that in bylaw, it doesn't actually really define how voting will be collected. It just states certain situations in which you have to regulate polling stations. Does that make sense? So that's why we're trying to remove references to them and move towards an electronic-only method of voting collection, because we think it'll be just as fair and easier because we're not going to have two different methods of collecting votes.
Thank you very much. That exhausts my speakers list. So we will vote on the amendment. The voting system is now live. Please vote. Please do not vote for other members of Students' Council. Thank you. Voting will close in 3, 2, 1. That motion carries with 22 in favor, 2 opposed, and 3 abstentions. Would the abstentions like to be noted? Seeing none, we'll go back to the main motion.
Question.
Called question. Don't just say question, just say called question.
It's
called question. If you just say question, I'm just going to assume you have a point of parliamentary inquiry, because I think you have a question. Thank you, Councillor Adamash. So, there was a call to question. We do have one person on the speakers list. I don't know if that's legitimate or not, seeing as the tomfoolery that's going on. So, there are no members on the speakers list, so the call to question is effectively moot. So, we will vote on this particular motion. I will once again read out the motion, so that all of you can continue to hear my beautiful voice. Item 6F, Christensen Duan moved to amend bylaw to eliminate the definition of polling stations within the context of SU elections based on the following first principles, Bill number 11, Number one, presently the definition of polling stations remains ambiguous and therefore makes interpretation of elections bylaws challenging. Number two, elections bylaws shall be amended to eliminate polling stations because of modern technological advancements, given that polling stations are no longer used. Three, voting shall only be done electronically. Four, bylaws shall be updated to take into account the inherent differences between electronic voting and previously used vote collection methods. The voting system is now live. Please vote. Voting will close in 3, 2, 1. Before I announce the results of the elections, would the abstentions like to be noted? Yeah, Councillor Jason Wong. Okay, that motion carries. 24 in favor, 0 opposed, and 2 abstentions. So we'll move on to item 6G. Christensen Bonnerchuk moved to create legislation within elections bylaws to enhance the integrity of students' union elections in the context of electronic voting and modern technological advancements based on the following first principles. Bill number 12. Number one, students' union elections shall be run in a fair, equitable, and integral manner for all candidates and voters. Two, every voter shall have the right to a secret ballot. Three, candidates shall not interfere with the secret ballot process in any way. Four, bylaws should be amended to create regulations that increase the integrity of elections. Five, regulations shall be created surrounding the use of electronic devices on voting days. Six, where contravention of the above principles occurs, penalties shall be outlined in bylaw up to and including disqualification. Councillor Christensen, would you like to introduce?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I'll always start with my obligatory call out to bylaw committee and their great work that they do on Wednesdays. They're so good to work with. So with this one, this is kind of our one of the newest ones that we're coming up with. We're going to be looking at the ways in which campaigning is done and how candidates approach voters in terms of accessing their electronic devices, using their electronic devices, or otherwise handling them. And I think it's really important that elections be fair and there's not someone standing over your shoulder or voting on your behalf. So I think with this one, that's kind of where we're going to be heading. And there's still quite a lot of work to be done with this one, but I look forward to doing that.
Thank you very much, Councillor Christensen. We'll go to Councillor Ademaj.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First off, shout out to the Tampa Bay Rays for being the Yankees. Secondly, I do have a couple questions about principle number 5 here. That talks about the regulations around the use of electronic devices. And we just spent a big debate about talking about that electronic devices are the only way to vote nowadays. The future is now, is what people are saying. And then there's this principle that says that regulation should be created surrounding the use. I'm just confused that this is a really vague interpretation, and I'm worried about the interpretation that we can be taking this when the actual bylaw is amended, because I don't see a way where you can regulate the use of electronic devices with how they're used in terms of voting. So I just think that there needs to be some clarification around that fifth principle. Thank you.
Thank you very much. President Kinda.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I really agree with the intent of this bill and these changes. However, I do have to agree with the previous statements that, and go beyond, that these principles are quite vague. I mean, I'm all for, like, fairness in elections. I don't think any of us will disagree with that. However, I think that first principles, while they also lay out facts, they should also set direction for what the actual policy would look like. And so, for point 3, for example, candidates shall not interfere with the secret ballot process. How do we design policy to change people's behavior? Or for 4 and 5, bylaws shall be amended to create regulations, or regulations shall be created. it would seem to me that we should kind of come up with the direction of how these regulations should be changed before bringing forth first principles. Like, that should be in the first principles. And I don't think, like, we had some problems, obviously, in the recent elections, but I'm not sure if those were the results of incomplete bylaw policy. And if they were, I still don't think that these first principles reflect that. So, again, I just think there's a problem with vagueness. Like, the scope is too large right now, so that by the time we did get to a second reading, almost any version of a second reading could apply to this.
Thank you very much, President Kinda. Councillor Allard?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If other members of Bylaw Committee wish to speak up and... Sorry, that sounded really accusatory. That's not what I meant. If any other members of Bylaw Committee wish to speak up and correct me on some aspects of our conversation that I'm forgetting, I would appreciate it. But the intent behind 5, and maybe an amendment should be opposed around this, or proposed around this, is that regulations shall be created surrounding the use of electronic devices by candidates on voting day. Really the reason that's in there, if I remember correctly from all of our conversations, is that we don't believe that it really is fair to have a candidate walking around with an iPad telling people that they can vote, on the SU website, and that's fine, but then having that candidate give you their iPad, have you vote while they're standing over your shoulder, that's not really democratic. That's obviously going to influence who you vote for, especially if you're not an educated voter, as probably a high percentage of campus voters are, because it's not always easy to find information during the election season. So the analogy was brought up that having someone approach you with an iPad and giving it to you so that you can vote is equivalent to having, Stephen Harper in the upcoming federal election standing behind you with his hand on your shoulder during voting day. So really, that was the intent behind this principle, and we could clarify that if you'd like. I wonder if that would really challenge any of the concerns that have been raised. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Councillor Christensen?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. These are just kind of the ideas, and it's always a balance trying to come up with things that aren't too specific, but that also get across what we need to accomplish. When we're too specific, then we run the risk of having to do this multiple times and go through the same cycle. I will echo what Councillor Allard said. Our primary goal with this is to regulate candidate use of electronic devices. We're not going to be limiting voters. Obviously, that's not possible or practical, but we will be hopefully implementing procedures and rules that specify that candidates will not be walking around with iPads. They will not be stealing people's CCIDs. They will not be taking people's devices and voting for them. They will not be doing any of that. And if anyone thinks that that's okay, I think that that's an even bigger issue. So I just want to make that clear that that's where we're going with this, and I appreciate the discussion, and I would hope that some leeway could be given to us to draft a second amendment that will, or a second set of principles that will actually show what we want to do. We're stuck with this process of doing first principles that remain vague or extremely wordy, and that makes it quite challenging, and so... we're working with the best that we've got right now.
Thank you very much. Vice President Kwan?
I just have a question surrounding the walking around with iPad, because from what I know, last year, if you want to use the iPad to go around and ask students to vote, you can pay a fee to the CRO and do that. So if these bylaws are passed, I was just wondering how it will impact that.
Councillor Allard?
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Hopefully that there won't be too much more debate. Not that the debate is not good, but I just realized I'm using my second speaking turn. Basically, our point would be to remove that, that candidates would no longer be allowed to do that, because it's the opinion of Bylaw Committee that that influences the democratic process, that it's not a secret ballot if someone is standing over your shoulder telling you to vote. So that is our intent. If you disagree with us, then I would say you disagree with these first principles, because that is where we're going with second principles. So, that's it.
Thank you very much. Councillor Tronson?
Just to build on what Councillor Allard was just talking about when he said, if you disagree with us, you generally disagree with our first principles. Herein lies the challenge that bylaw committee grapples with, and this is exactly what Councillor Christians was talking about as well, is how can we make these specific enough so council knows where we're going with this, but yet make them sufficiently general so that they conform to the idea of first principles. This is the process we're bound by and poses a challenge over and over for bylaw committee, and so I really do think that this might be a conversation that we'll have to have at a later date regarding how we go about making bylaw here, because we are always trying to waver between being too specific or too general, or when we really just want to say what we want to say and change what we feel needs to be changed and get council's approval and council's input. So that's my piece. Thanks.
Thank you very much. That brings our speakers list to a close, so unless any hands go furiously up or anybody starts pressing their speech button fervently.
When's the parliamentary inquiry?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If a motion like this is voted down, would bylaw committee be able to propose a new version of it for a future meeting?
I'd have to look into it. I want to say no, but I would have to double check and make sure. I wouldn't say that like I would say that the motion in this format wouldn't be able to be proposed, but if they wanted to make some sort of other changes, they might be able to propose those changes.
Point of parliamentary brief?
Yes.
If a motion were made to refer this back to bylaw committee as was done with the earlier motion tonight, is that something that could allow for this type of
yes. Councillor Adelange? Question. You would like to call it a question? I will note that that's how you call it a question. This isn't Parliament, Councillor Adelange. This is Students' Council. This is not the House of Lords either. So, I'm sorry if I embarrassed you, Councillor Adelange. We will vote on this particular motion. So once again, I'll read the motion out for you. Christensen Bonnerschuck moved to create legislation within elections bylaws to enhance the integrity of students' union elections in the context of electronic voting and modern technological advancements based on the following first principles. Bill number 12, Students' Union Elections shall be run in a fair, equitable, and integral manner for all candidates and voters. 2, every voter shall have the right to a secret ballot. 3, candidates shall not interfere with the secret ballot process in any way. 4, bylaws shall be amended to create regulations that increase the integrity of elections. 5, regulations shall be created surrounding the use of electronic devices on voting days. 6, where contravention of the above principles occurs, penalties shall be outlined in bylaw up to and including disqualification. Please vote now. Close voting in 3, 2, 1. So that motion, before I announce the results, would the abstentions like to be noted for this particular motion? Okay. That motion carries, 18 in favor, 5 opposed, 4 abstentions. So that brings board and committee business to a close. We'll move into general orders. Item 7A, Bonnerschuck moves to, upon recommendation of policy committee, approve the gender policy in second reading based on the following first principles. So I'll read them out for council's pleasure. Number 1, students deserve equitable treatment regardless of their gender identity and or biological sex. Number 2, not all students identify their gender to be within the male-female binary. Number three, it is not always necessary for administrations to require students to disclose their gender and or biological sex outside of medical reasons. Number four, students who do not identify within the male-female gender binary are denied access to gendered spaces on campus. Number five, transgender students may feel misgendered or unsafe in gendered spaces on campus. Number six, gendered non-binary students are excluded from important university documents, such as the Code of Student Behavior, when students are referred to as he or she. Number seven, existing alternatives to gendered spaces on campus do not have appropriate signage to address their inclusivity. And number eight, students face barriers to obtaining non-binary living conditions in housing and residence. Is there a seconder for this motion? Councilor Allard. Vice President Bonnerchuk, would you like to introduce?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm setting my timer. Okay, so, so this is the second reading for the proposed policy on gender. There are 19 resolutions that you have in your packages, so I'm just going to list through them. But I do welcome questions. So I broke the resolutions into six different categories. So the first four, focusing on the idea of students that don't identify within the gender binary. So we would ask that the U of A formally recognize the existence of different gender identities other than male-female, that they include additional gender options when you're applying for the university and as well on documents in general. Three, that they not require students gain administrative approval for changing their gender on bear tracks. And four, that they not require students to disclose their gender on bear tracks or as part of their student file if students don't wish to. The second section, 5-8, is on washrooms. So five, the students' union wants, we would advocate that the U of A not bar gender non-binary students from gendered spaces on campus. Anything on campus that's solely for either men or women or just for men and women shouldn't exist, or there should be alternative options. The next one, we'd like the University of Alberta to include single unit, all gender washrooms. That's what people would call like family style washrooms. In every new building constructed on campus, and implement all gender washrooms in existing buildings where practical. It is cost prohibitive sometimes, for example, on the first few floors of CSIS, but in any new building, they should very easily be able to include those single unit stalls. Seven, we'd like the University of Alberta to use appropriate signage on single unit washrooms that do not identify the space as gendered in any way. A lot of the time, every washroom outside of the one run by the students' union has a symbol of a man and a woman on an all-gender washroom, which isn't actually an all-gender washroom because that doesn't cover all genders. Wow, my phone's going off. Okay. Number eight, we'd ask the University of Alberta to work towards a gender-inclusive changing area for Paw Center as well as Van Vliet. Currently, there is some form of a family-style change room, which is not really appropriate or anything that is substantial for students that otherwise would be changing in a washroom instead of an actual change area. The third section, 9 and 10, is for Greek life. The Students' Union would advocate that fraternities, women's fraternities, and sororities would have chapter policies around admitting first, transgender students that conform to the gender requirements of the organization, and second, for gender non-binary students. Currently, this is one of those gendered areas that would not actually, if a student was non-binary, they wouldn't be allowed to join either club, which is discriminatory. The next three are around the Code of Student Behavior and university documents. 11 is asking the U of A to remove gendered terms from Code of Student Behavior in the same way that we did with our bylaws in the summer. 12 is asking the U of A to use gender-neutral terms wherever possible in their documents. And 13 is policies for instructors within each faculty, asking the U of A to ask their faculties to use gender-free language in course syllabi and anywhere else that they need to. The next section, 14 and 15, is on housing. The SU would ask that the U of A not require students to meet with an advisor to go into gender-inclusive housing. The next one, to let students to get rid of really just the idea of gender segregation in housing. And the last ones are on the government, asking the government of Alberta formally recognize the existence of gender identities other than male-female, asking them to change the building code to have single-unit washrooms, asking them to adopt gender-inclusive signage like the city has done, and asking them to...
And that's your time. So we will go to debate on the motion. Councillor Allard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Really super quickly, I'd just like to say I'd like to speak in favor of this. This is in my 2 years on the Students Council, well, a year and a half now, I guess, like pretty much the most comprehensive policy set that I've seen come forward, and I think this is an incredibly important and vital area. So I'd like to commend Policy Committee and Vice President Bondarchuk for their work on this, and I think this is really important. I encourage you all to vote yes.
Thank you very much, Councillor Allard. Councillor Dionne?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would also like to speak in favor of this. I'm just really excited for this policy. We worked really hard on it. It's really going to help a significant portion of the students on campus, so I would encourage everyone to vote yes.
Thank you very much, Councillor Dionne. President Kinda.
Hey, Mr. Speaker. I also think this is fantastic. And I'm really proud to see this coming to Student Council. I just have a bunch of questions, just because like there are so many clauses, and just some questions for thought for the floor. So hopefully get open. So for 9 and 10, no real question, more just like the university doesn't really run fraternities or sororities in my understanding, and so any policy change would have to be advocated towards the international chapters. So that could be different or tricky for events to do. For number 4, instead of not requiring students to disclose their gender on grant tracks, what about allowing the student to pick their gender, whatever they might identify as? For 11 and 12, two kind of questions. So I think these both could be amalgamated in the sense that the Code of Student Behavior is a University of Alberta document, but I do understand the need for signaling out the code. My other question is, what documents? Because the University of Alberta has a lot of documents. Does this mean all their internal documents where they talk to each other, or like external facing documents, or are we okay with this clause being vague? Because there's a lot of documents for use at the university. For point 13, what is gender-free language? Is that the same as gender-neutral language, as stated in point 11, or is gender-free something different? For 16, how would the government of Alberta formally recognize the existence? Would that just doesn't matter? Just a random question. For point 17, awesome. What about the city of Edmonton? Just another question, just to see what the discussion was like. And what kind of research was done behind the building code project, or building codes? And I know Cliff did a lot of research, so that would be really cool to hear about. Those are my questions. In general, really good.
Thank you very much. President Kinda, is there any further debate? Vice President Bondarchuk?
Yes. Oh, excellent. Yes, thank you so much for the questions. I will go through them. Starting at the top. So the purpose behind the fourth one, asking to students not required to disclose their gender. So I feel that the third one does follow the idea of students being able to change their own gender, not needing administrative approval. Currently, to change your gender on VeriTracks, you have to phone the office and meet with them, and there's only male and female available. So these two work together, saying that in an ideal world, number 4, students wouldn't have to disclose it at all, but it would still be an option. And 3, if we can't have that, at least let students be able to change it themselves. To 9 and 10, the purpose of this advocacy would be to push specifically to the local chapters, because they can have policies separate from the international chapters. It would be very difficult, and I feel out of scope for our students' union to go to an international chapter, specifically because American fraternities, women's fraternities, and sororities do operate quite differently. Although they do have the same practices and bylaws under their international policies, it would be just too much. 11 and 12 for documents, that is kind of a good point. The documents is kind of vague. If people are feeling an amendment, then I'd be down. I don't know how else to, yeah. It would be more like unofficial documents, which ties into 13 again with things like course syllabi, faculty-specific documents, just the use of gendered language in general. 13, yes, gender-free is just another way of gender-neutral. I feel that they're both clear enough to be able to state both of them. 16, a formal recognition could come in the form of an official statement, which could be referred really any of the ministers. The idea of formally recognizing as well, it's the first point that I asked the university to do as well, because the first step to making these changes would be to formally recognize that there are more than two genders. And for number 17, the reason I didn't include the city of Edmonton is because earlier this year, the city of Edmonton actually did pass almost unanimously in council to change all of their washrooms to gender-neutral washrooms and to have appropriate signage. In terms of research, we have done stuff about specific to universities and are currently working to crack into the building codes. What we've found is that the building codes fall silent when it turns to gender-neutral washrooms, and that currently people building new buildings, both publicly, by like government-run and public buildings built by private people and corporations, don't have to make any exceptions for gender-neutral washrooms, and that's consistent across the rest of Canada. But since we are in Alberta, I'd want to focus on the Alberta Building Code and include an option for gender non-binary people. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Councillor Dionne?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Also, just to add on to that, for number 4, about not requiring students to disclose their gender on bear tracks, we can also take into consideration that a lot of times when students are like picking their classes through bear tracks, like their family will want to see it. And if they're a trans or non-binary student that's not out to their family yet, it could like save them from an awkward situation where they either have to lie about their gender or have to have an uncomfortable conversation that they're not ready to have yet. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That exhausts my speakers list. Unless there are any further comments on this particular motion. Yes, President Kinda.
I would just like to make what I hope is a friendly amendment just to replace gender-free with gender-neutral, just to keep the policy consistent.
So in 13?
Yeah, number 13.
So the amendment would be to point 13, the Students' Union will advocate that faculties in the University of Alberta create policies for their instructors regarding the use of gender-neutral language in course syllabi and other faculty-specific documents. Is there a seconder for this motion? Councillor Allard? Is there anyone opposed to this amendment? Seeing none, that amendment is carried as friendly. Any further items of debate? Seeing none, we'll go to a vote. Please vote now.
So from gender free to gender neutral. Okay.
Voting will close in 3, 2, 1. Would the abstentions like to be noted? Seeing none, that motion carries. 25 in favor, 0 opposed, and 2 abstentions. All right, and last but not least, we'll go to 7A from the late editions. Rahman motions to appoint one member of Students' Council to the Governance Review Task Force. Is there a seconder for this motion? Councillor Flanagan? Vice President Rahman, would you like to introduce?
I would. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So we had a resignation from the Governance Review Task Force. So I basically just need to fill this resignation, and I'm looking for a nomination. So let's have some fun and see who wants to be on the Governance Review Task Force.
Are there any questions for Vice President Rahman before we open up nominations? Councillor Tronson?
When does this task force meet?
It's meeting every other Monday at 4 p.m., starting on this coming Monday.
Councillor Kevin-Wan?
Who is on it currently from council?
He's looking it up. Councillor Flanagan.
I believe the only council, since we had one resignation, the only other council rep other than the President Ramon is myself.
Actually, there were four councillors. Okay. That includes Jason Wang, Councillor Wang, Councillor J. Wang, Councillor V. De Jong, and Councillor L. Plum.
Any other questions for Vice President Rahman before we move into nominations? Seeing none, let's go into nominations. Are there any nominations? Yes, Councillor Jason Wong.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Patrick.
Councillor Patrick, do you accept?
Mr. Speaker, can I ask you a question first? How long do the meetings go?
Just now.
Can I ask another question?
Sure.
So this might be a bigger question than you're expecting, but so is the idea of the Governance for Task Force to make any governance decisions that, like, if we see an issue, we'll bring it to Governance Task Force to be solved? Or is a Governance Review Task Force going to sort of sit silently and watch what we do, not interfere in our normal process for a year, and then report back after that?
So the plan is, like, more of the latter, but we also want, like, active suggestions if people want things, like, particularly discussed with the Governance Review Task Force. I wouldn't want to be tinkering with council standing orders in the middle of a year and then, like, say at the beginning of the year, we're going to make one change and then make other changes, not knowing what impact that first change will have on future changes. So, we want to be comprehensive at the end, file a report that suggests recommendations to council before the end of the year so that council can take those recommendations and, like, discuss them at CAC or amongst the entire full council and then vote on them.
Mr. Speaker, I accept.
The nominations are not yet closed. Are there any other nominations for this particular position?
Parliamentary inquiry.
Yes, Councillor Fleming.
Would it be out of order to poll the members to see if there's anybody who is not currently on a board or council committee of any sort?
Yes, it would be out of order. Sorry. But they could put their hands up anyways if they would like. Are there any other nominations? Seeing none, congratulations, Councillor Patrick. Vice President Hanwell, don't break the table. It's new.
I got excited.
That was my goal. Before we go into taking attendance again, one thing that I forgot to mention during speaker's business was we did this during the summer, and I'll probably do it again for new members of Students' Council when they run in the by-election. But if you would like paper copies of the agenda, please let me know, as we run out very quickly. So, yeah. That being said, we'll take attendance, and then we'll let you all go.
What a parliamentary inquiry.
Yes.
Were the votes tabulated for the council scholarship at the end of the last term?
Yes, both. Sorry if I didn't mention this earlier. Both nominees were successful,
I believe.
So, Councillor Christensen and Councillor Tronson, congratulations on receiving the council scholarship. Thank you for reminding me. Clutch. So we'll go to attendance. President Kenda.
Present.
Vice President Rahman.
Still present.
Vice President Hanwell.
Present.
Vice President Bonnerchuk.
Here.
Vice President Kwan.
Present.
Governor Khan has left. Councillor Allard.
Present.
Councillor Tronson?
Here.
Mr. Sood for Councillor Zhang?
Here.
Councillor Burton?
Here.
Councillor Dion?
Here.
Councillor Slam? Councillor Angus?
Here.
Mr. Stuckin for Councillor Patches?
Yeah.
Councillor Johnson?
Here.
Councillor Chang?
Here.
Councillor Patrick?
Here.
Councillor Jason Wan?
Present.
Councillor Yu?
Here.
Councillor Singh? Councillor Christensen?
Here.
Councillor Doan? Councillor Flamin?
Yes, here.
Councillor Hodgson? Councillor Roussel? Councillor McKinnon?
Yeah.
Councillor Kwan?
Here.
Councillor Duan?
Here.
Councillor Adamaj?
Yeah.
Councillor Kevin Wong?
Here.
Councillor Xu?
Here.
Councillor Mustafis?
Here.
Councillor Lewis?
Here.
And I'm here. Meeting adjourned at 9:09 p.m.